peace, so I can, on most days, live a more hopeful and joyful life. And I want to welcome you all to this third of our four segments of Living and Thriving with 4A's. So some of you might be logging on to this session, not knowing that there were two previous sessions and there's one more to come. So you'll be able to catch up with those other two. I believe they might be recorded and be able to catch them some way, but please join us for this session and for the one following. The 4A's in terms of living and thriving with the 4A's are awareness, acceptance, attitude, and action. And this session, we're going to dig deep into attitude, how we can choose a wise attitude. It makes a huge difference in our lives. We are a 12-step program, and most 12-step programs use the Serenity Prayer as a beginning meditation to join us. And so we're going to share now in the Serenity Prayer, and we'll start praying in 3, 2, 1, Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept
the things that I cannot change.
The courage to change the things that I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Peace.
Thanks, everybody. And if you could remute yourself, that would be wonderful. Just some housekeeping and time frame comments to share with you. We'll have almost 2 hours together now in this session on attitude. We do ask that everyone remain muted during the session unless you're asked to unmute to share. And of course, when you get in your small group time, you'll be able to be unmuted and share in those small group sessions. We do ask that you be patient with us as presenters as we try to share this material that we prepared to share and manage things on this virtual retreat. Sometimes it's a challenge, but we're going to do the best that we can. Just to introduce myself just a bit more, as I said, I'm Scott Jay, and I came to EA in 2007. I've been a part of the board of trustees that helped to be trusted servants for this organization, and I've been on that board for the last 5.5 years. I have been privileged to be part of several EA meetings in the state of Minnesota. And since COVID-19 coronavirus hit the pandemic worldwide, I've been part of meetings around the world with people on Zoom and in conference calls as well, doing EA meetings. I love this recovery community, and I'm grateful for the chance to share with you now in this process of healing and growth that we can achieve during this retreat. Here is our co-facilitator for this session, Charlie.
Hello again, friends. We had a half an hour where we got to take care of ourselves a little bit. And I've been invited by Scott to do a little settling in relaxation. So if you'll join me, what we want to do is kind of get present right where we are. So I'm going to invite you to do what is going to be a very short, 5 minutes or less, sitting exercise. So find a position that's comfortable. And I'll begin the meditation with the sound of the bell and end it with the sound of the bell. So, settling into the body, actually noticing the place that you're sitting. You may choose to turn off your video for these few minutes, if that helps. If it helps for you, you may consider closing your eyes. But arriving into your body, noticing exactly where you are, your feet on the ground, your bottom sitting on a chair probably, knowing that this chair is sitting in a room, it's sitting on a floor, it's sitting on a building, which is also sitting on the ground. And just being aware of the fact that you are connected to the ground through your chair, through your feet, through the building, onto the ground. Settling into your posture a little bit, just beginning to relax. And breathing in, cool and refreshing, and breathing out, letting go of anything that you want to let go of. Beginning to relax just a little bit, softening the face, relaxing the jaw, relaxing the neck and the back of the head. Breathing in, cool and refreshing, and breathing out, relaxing, letting go of anything that you want to relax. Relaxing your shoulders, your upper back, and relaxing your arms. And coming into your body, right into your chest, right into your heart, and allowing yourself to relax, your whole body to relax, your whole upper torso to relax. But arriving with a feeling of gratitude, grateful for having shown up today. Thank you for showing up to take care of yourself. I'm grateful to come home to this body, like coming home to a friend. This body that's always here for us, always taking care of ourselves, always breathing without us thinking about it. Breathing in, cool and refreshing. Breathing out, relaxing even more. Relaxing the legs. Relaxing the stomach. Relaxing the knees and calves. And relaxing the feet. Breathing in, cool and refreshing. Breathing out, letting go of any remaining tension, anything else you want to let go of. And of course, thoughts and emotions are still there, but they're welcome. We're not fighting anything. We're accepting. Breathing in, cool and refreshing. Breathing out, relaxing the whole body now. And seeing if you can just be aware of your whole body for just a moment, sitting here, all of it simultaneously. Feeling the air on the skin. Feeling your breathing in and out. Feeling the pressure of the feet on the floor. Your seat on the cushion. Put all of it together. Breathing in, aware of the whole body, and breathing out, aware of the whole body. And as a way to gently transition, ask yourself if there's some energy, some kindness, some feeling, some wish that you have for yourself for the second half of our day together. Is there something that you're wanting from yourself, from your higher power? And being willing to have that answer show up now or show up during our afternoon together. In the last moment, just noticing your whole body breathing. Thanks, everyone.
That bell you got there, Charlie, sounds a lot of creepy to me.
Thanks, Russ. I'll hit it softer next time.
Reminds me of a horror flick from something, and I can't remember where.
Back to you, Scott.
Well, in order to recap what we've covered so far in our retreat, we do want to have a couple of volunteers to share 1 or 2 minutes each as they can share what they got out of the first session, awareness, and then we'll have a couple of volunteers to share what they got out of the second session, which was acceptance that we did just earlier today. So Charlie, I can continue to lead this section unless you wanted to. I think we had originally thought you would lead this.
You're right, I passed too early.
No, I figure that's maybe what you needed to do. So I'm gonna pass.
You're so graceful. Just think we're gonna go with asking for someone to share what we got just before lunch. We'll skip last night. So looking for a couple of volunteers to raise your Zoom hand, your virtual hand, to talk about some takeaway that you had in the session that we had this morning. Just to bring up to speed any folks who are joining us for the first time, who may not have tapped into our session on acceptance and compassionate acceptance on compassionate acceptance. How about you, Terry?
I could probably do that, Charlie.
Thanks, Terry.
So both last night and today, I shared something that happened in my relationship with my husband just yesterday that didn't actually come, you know, from last night and today specifically, but it's things that I've been working on for the last several years. And we're both recovering people. And we're also in a small business. And a lot of times there's really not a whole lot to do. But sometimes a lot happens where it's kind of overwhelming. And so yesterday I was trying to have a discussion with him about it, and I could see that or feel and hear that both of us were raising our voices. And I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I've been doing a lot of work on myself, both with kindness and compassion, and also learning more about the autonomic nervous system. And Stephen Porges talks about that when we get into fear, our reptilian brain takes over, and we lose certain things that we would normally do. And what I was aware of, so in the awareness part, I was aware that both of us were losing prosody, and it felt like we were both yelling at each other. And I recognized that we were both in fear. And so I lowered my voice and I asked my husband to get himself calmer and lower his voice. And then we were able to finish the conversation and solve the problem that we were having, where we weren't actually even hearing ourselves because we were both in fear. And these things work really well when we begin to really be aware. You know, the autonomic nervous system is it's the reptilian brain that takes over, and it's an automatic thing. But we can become aware of how our fear is perhaps triggering that, and we can change our behavior, and then make something better happen. So that's what I wanted to share in both of those small groups. And now I'll share it with all of you. And then I pass.
Wow. Thank you, Terry. I wonder if you might stitch on a word about where acceptance played a part in that.
Sure. Well, in the first place, I had to accept that that's where I was going. I had to first of all become aware of it, and then I had to accept it. And our pattern of behavior and communication in past times has been for both of us to escalate. And so my acceptance was, first of all, for myself to be aware and then accept my own behavior and then de-escalate myself and then ask him to de-escalate himself.
Great. Thank you, Terry. And that's enough. Scott, that's enough of a summary of the whole thing. Perfect, Terry. Scott, I'll pass it back over to you.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Terry. Also, thanks to Margot and Charlie, who co-led that earlier workshop today. It was really quite extraordinary. I was able to listen to most of it calling in by telephone. So,
and Scott, if I might add, thanks to Dave Q, who is now our retired dashboard manager. Folks, you know somebody's doing their job well when you don't notice them. Dave, you perfectly did all of the managing, the mutes, the screen shares. Thank you for your help this morning. Back to you, Scott.
Awesome. So we haven't gotten to our fourth segment yet, which is going to be later this afternoon or this evening, depending upon where you're living at. So we haven't done the action section, so we can't recap that yet. But as we think about action coming, it's exciting, at least for me, to know that we get a chance to use our awareness and our acceptance that we've already learned about. And now we get to use this time of attitude learning. And when we combine these first three, this trifecta, we'll be ready to take action where we need to take action. That might be doing something extraordinary, deeply meaningful, might be taking a nap. But whatever it is that we need to do, having had this awareness, acceptance, and now we're learning about attitude, it does prepare us for action along the way. So I mentioned attitude. We're going to get into that attitude conversation now. To do this, I'd like someone to read a section that we have on having a wise attitude. I believe it's here on our dashboard now. And if someone can raise their Zoom hand, that yellow sticker, then I would know that you're ready to read that segment and I will call upon you. And if Greg or Charlie see a hand raised and I'm not seeing it. Oh, Sharon B. Wonderful. Sharon, would you read this section in yellow, please?
Sure. Using our tools and practices, oops, what happened? It slipped down. Oh, from a positive attitude. No matter what is going on with us, we always begin with awareness and acceptance. Otherwise, we can use any tool or recovery practice from a mindset of fear. A belief that I must change something or I will be overwhelmed by an unpleasant mind state can itself reinforce or amplify my painful experience. We pay attention first to our attitudes and beliefs. If we are suffering, we realize that it is normal to want to avoid painful feelings and experiences or to cling on to pleasant feelings and experiences. Instead, we practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is a mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations. Thus, we make sure that before we act to choose from a place of calm awareness as opposed to confused fear, we become aware of our emotions and thoughts. First, and are willing to know them, we try to be mindful of what hidden beliefs are beneath our impulse to change our emotional state. Ooh, there's more. The fact that some unfinished business is arising is a testimony to our spiritual growth. It's coming up because we are ready to handle it.
Thanks for sharing that, Sharon. So in one of our pamphlets that EA produces, in case you're not familiar with the program, we have really dozens and dozens of different pamphlets on different subjects. There is a pamphlet that focuses on the material we're looking at today, the four A's. And in that pamphlet, I just want to read a paragraph that does speak about attitude. Here is that quote from that pamphlet. A change in attitude can make our whole life seem easier. We can begin to see the glass as half full rather than half empty. With a healthy attitude, we can do things necessary for our well-being. End quote. So you might be thinking about attitude options, and you might be thinking about this image I just shared with a glass that had some air in it and some water in it. You might think, okay, we got attitude options. We can say, I can be optimistic, glass is half full. I can be pessimistic, glass is half empty. But we're going to go deeper than just optimism and pessimism as we explore what attitudes are available for us as we choose wisely in saying, what attitude is going to help me live my best life? So another way to think about our attitude choices is to say, I want to choose a realistic attitude instead of choosing unrealistic attitudes. Really, it helps us to understand the things that we can realistically do something about, things we cannot realistically do something about. And when we discover how to distinguish between realistic or unrealistic attitudes, it really becomes a shortcut to peace. And by shortcut, I mean it's a way to have quick access to that serenity that we all desire in this program. So now we're going to look at our thoughts and our emotions. And we're going to see how we do have options as to how we look at our thoughts and our emotions. The whole point of changing our thinking is related to the topic we have before us this afternoon called changing our attitude. It's about changing our thinking. How many times have we heard someone say, in referring to another person, that person really needs an attitude adjustment? Well, perhaps when we look at how that person is behaving or talking or acting, we might think that person in question is definitely in need of such an adjustment in their attitude, that maybe they could, or we could, think differently about what's going on right now. And as a result of thinking differently, adjusting things, we, they, the world can have a better attitude as a result. We're going to ask for some people to share now about attitudes. I'd like to have a couple of people share two different things here with us in our large group. First, I want people to say, can I name a negative attitude that shows up for me, and I want to have less of that negative attitude? You see the question here. First, what's one negative attitude that shows up a lot for you that you want to have less of? And then secondly, briefly, can you say how this negatively affects you and your loved ones? And I think we may try to just tackle the negative side of it right now. So I'd like to have three people raise their virtual hands. Their Zoom hands, and then we can call upon them, and they're going to basically share a negative attitude that they're aware of, that they would like to have less of, and also how that negative attitude has affected you or your loved ones. I'm just looking for help from maybe Greg and from Charlie.
I see Greta has her hand up.
Wonderful. Greta, go ahead, and if you can, in a minute or two, share in this, that'd be great.
Attitude. Sometimes there are certain people who are more difficult for me to relate to in our meetings. And this negatively impacts me because when I see these people or hear these people, I tend to have a reaction that's not good. And, you know, I care about everybody in EA, just some people are just difficult to deal with. And I really want to be able to hear people's voices and see their faces without having a reaction, a negative reaction.
Thanks, Greta. And a couple other people.
I see there's a phone number, Scott, a 732 number that has put their hand up.
Great. Our friend with 732 area code, you're on.
Hi, yeah. Hi, Scott. Yeah, it's actually Kobe, the Jersey Jailbird. got the numbers off you the other day, but for myself, I think one of the biggest attitudes I struggle with is being pessimistic. Very easy for me to fall back into the old attitude of seeing everything in a negative light because so much negative has played out in my life, a lot by my hand, but it also, you know, a lot that was out of my control. And so when I feel things aren't going quite the way I'd like them to go, you know, I fall into that, you know, the whole world's kind of against me mode. That was one of my struggles. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Kobe. Glad you could make it on the call. And I see there might be two other hands that are raised.
I see Sharon's hand is up.
Oh, wonderful. Sharon H.
You're still muted, Sharon.
Thank you. My upbringing was a very anxious mother, and there wouldn't be enough food, there wouldn't be enough milk, there wouldn't be enough money. So that can get triggered in very subtle ways for me. And so my negative attitude is a sense of scarcity. And how that affects me is a feeling of loss or grief. Oh, I'm not enough. Or, oh dear, there won't be enough. And I have to really do some gymnastics to be aware of how that feels to me. It's like a hole in the center, like I'm falling into a hole within my center, and there's no end to it. And so I have to use different tools to understand that's not now, that was then, that got triggered now, and separate the time. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sharon. And one more share. I thought there were two hands up before, so maybe somebody still has a hand up.
Yeah, I don't see any others, but we could go to one of the people on the phone, Scott.
Yes, we got our friend.
Hello, Paul. This is, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm on a phone, and I don't know how to raise my hand on the phone, but this is Ken from St. Paul. May I share? Can people hear me?
Yes, please, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, so, what I'm working on is, a negative attitude of criticizing. So, you know, if I go back to the root, when I was growing up and going to school and stuff, I was always graded and kind of criticized along the way. And sometimes I couldn't do well enough or get good enough grades. So, through that critique on the society, I kind of tried to do that myself, or then it ended up kind of trying to be perfection, to do things to perfection. And then when I couldn't do that, if I didn't meet that expectation of others or myself, then feel, shame or lower about myself. So, and that's carried through, to me. So then, I criticize myself. I still do that, and I try not to, and that's the thing about acceptance, accepting myself just for who I am and giving it up to a higher power and then accepting that love that comes in from that higher power for myself is kind of, the way I try to deal with that, accept it and let it go. Not only for myself, but I find myself being critical of others. You know, if they're not meeting my expectations, and I may have some perfectionist expectations there as well, and end up criticizing other people, and that hurts them. So, that's what one of my negative things is, and that's what I'm working on. And I'm very grateful for all the people that are sharing and the leaders of this meeting that we're having here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Ken. Really appreciate your sharing and Sharon's and Colby's and Greta's. Glad to have you contribute in our large group session. I am going to pass things back to Charlie. If you're ready to catch, Charlie, I'm throwing it your way.
Great. Well, we're going to transition towards the positive attitude stuff, but we're going to use a very short reading, one paragraph, to get us there. So I'm wondering if one of you would put your Zoom hand up and let's get a person to read this one paragraph that's on screen. So anyone put your hand up to read that? Okay, Robin, why don't you go ahead and do that for us?
Our attitude is the tone or feeling of our thinking. If we are struggling with something, we can look to see if it's coming from our attitude. We wish to change our negative attitudes to wise ones. The wise attitudes we need most are trust and positive intention. We open and ask our higher power to guide us to a wise and positive attitude. We set an intention to be the best self we can be. We trust that we are supported and that we are enough to do this.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Okay, like Scott was saying, we've heard that attitude is the tone or feeling of our thinking. Oh, so the idea is that if we're having a difficulty with some situation, it's probably a good time to look at what our attitude is. And when we seek to discover what our attitude is, we can ask, what is the tone or feeling of our thinking? Now, I know that that was a circular thought, but there's a reason for having that be a circular thought, because attitude, sometimes we can't see our own attitude. It's the water that we're swimming in, right? So the way that we're learning in Emotions Anonymous is to be able to name our feelings. Well, probably if I've got tightness going on in my body, or if my face is scrunched up, or anyways, there's physical things that I can be noticing that cue to my attitude. And then I can start to ask myself, what is the tone or feeling of my thinking? So are we thinking of others with a tone of distrust? Then the tone of distrust will affect how we relate to them. Believing consciously or unconsciously that I can't trust anything that they have to say is not quite the kind of openness that would allow us to hear what they're about to say. So our attitude serves as a gatekeeper as we listen, a lens that we look through. I'm gonna do one of these, have you raise your hands if you agree with this moment. How many of you have already experienced even today where you notice that you have a judgment about somebody and that it blocks you from hearing what they say? Anybody notice that? Some judgment that you have blocks you from hearing somebody for whoever they are or seeing them truly. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So our attitude serves as a gatekeeper that we can listen through, like a lens that we look through. Now let's have some people raise their hands, and we'll also get to people on the phone as well, and name an attitude that you often have that's positive, one that you benefit from. So to clarify again, we're looking for kind of shorter answers. An example would be a positive attitude like, I have wonder or respect or openness or trust. And you might say something that allows you to be present for it, that allows you to say open, what allows you to open and enjoy a sunset? What attitude is that, you know? I see that we've got several people have raised their hand. Cody from Arkansas, we haven't heard from you yet today. Would you unmute and share with us?
Hi, yes, this is Cody from Arkansas. One thing I do notice is that I have two attitudes. One is autonomy, so basically I'm capable. And the second one would be willingly. So that's more of an attitude of if I come to that wall where I don't feel like I'm capable, I'm willing to try something new. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. That's like foundation material. How can I not function without believing that I'm capable? Thank you, Cody. Greta, I see that you've got your hand up.
I think, and this is kind of, it's going to sound contradictory to what I said earlier, but I'm operating more in compassion. Compassion is, I'm finding that's something I need more for myself and for other people. And even with the people who I find difficult to deal with, I'm trying to approach from a perspective of compassion.
Beautiful. And Betty is next, but before you go ahead, Betty, I'm gonna expand the question a little bit. So for everybody, we're gonna keep taking some responses now. What is a positive attitude that you're noticing is showing up in your life more and more? What's something that is starting to be, as Cody suggested, something that she is a strength, you know, something that she trusts in herself? Go ahead, Betty.
Well, most of my pre-recovery life, I anticipated the worst. That was just my mindset. And I, we probably with good reason, I just believed my life was always going to be hard and difficult. That was a core belief of mine. And in my years in recovery, which are now over 30, I have just come to anticipate the best. And it's not something I even worked on. It's just something that happened, thanks to the program and the wonderful people who showed up as meetings. And as they showed me love, and as they showed me understanding, I began to also treat myself with love and understanding. And that started to bring about good things in my life. And so it became a cycle. And now I just routinely anticipate the best. The best is going to happen. And not even something I need to work at. It just happens. And in fact, sometimes it's almost become the defect of character because I have stopped being cautious when maybe I should be cautious, because I'm just, oh, nothing bad will happen. This is going to be good. This will be great. And so sometimes I need to actually temper it a little. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Betty. And notice how it is to take that in. Betty sharing how her experience more and more is trust and openness. It doesn't have to be something that's welcome. It could be sometimes we might compare ourselves to that, or we might take it as something that, wow, if I stick around and I work this, that's something that might happen to me or something that I can open and invite today. And on that thought, I want to introduce a phrase, sudden awakening versus gradual cultivation. Sudden awakening versus gradual cultivation. Sometimes we have a moment, like when somebody speaks or we see something like a sunset or a child or a wave, or all of a sudden, boom, we're present, we're in a moment. That's a sudden awakening. And then what we do in the program over time is we have this gradual cultivation. So now I'm gonna expand the question a little bit. We want to, so we just talked about the attitudes that help. Now it gets a little bit tougher. What, when you need an attitude switch, what are the tools and practices that you use to get to the positive attitude? So I'm gonna ask three people to raise their hands and give an example of a practice that you use to get into a wise or positive attitude, something that's dependable for you. And you know, so for example, me, I relax. If I'm stuck, if I'm in something that's a painful attitude, I actually do a body relaxation to get back into that place. So, folks, if three people would raise your hands and share what's a practice that you're learning to do that's dependable for you. And I see Terry has her hand raised.
So I've learned to breathe. And it's a slow intake and a belly breath where my belly is rising, and then a long exhalation. And that puts me in parasympathetic nervous system, which is the body relaxing. And then once I've done that, it's also like a pause. And I've been really learning and practicing pausing over the last year. And one of the ways that I do that also, I'm getting forgetful, and I put stuff down and I can't remember where it is and those kinds of things. And so I've started a prayer to the goddess Findania to help me find whatever it is that I'm looking at for. And it's like just the doing of the pausing helps me to calm down so that I can go, oh yeah, I was in the other room, you know, and go in there and look, and there it is. So those two things help me a lot.
I just want to get that straight. It's the goddess Findania?
That's right.
Okay, good. So add that to your list of possible higher power resources, folks, when you have lost something. And before we go to Robin, just a thought about that sacred pause that she mentioned. Terry was talking about breathing. And so here's an interesting opportunity I invite you to do during the rest of our retreat together. When you're listening to people and when you're talking, see if you can notice your breathing while you are actually talking. Like, pay attention to it. The act of actually staying in your body, and see what it does. So there's a little interesting tool. And Robin, would you share with us too?
Hi, everybody. I'm Robin. I'm powerless over my emotions. But as I've learned in the program, belief is a choice. Like, I never used to think of it as that, like, belief, you know, choosing to believe something. I can actually choose to believe it. And I've also learned that attitude is a choice too. I can actually choose a positive attitude, but I can't get there by self-will alone. So I find just the simple act of just asking, you know, taking a few minutes and just saying, you know, a very simple request to my higher power, whom I call God, just God, you know, please, please give me a positive attitude. And I try to cultivate a kind of calm, still presence within myself, and try to be open to receiving that gift, because to me it is a gift. Whenever I'm really able to truly be present and let go, it's a gift from my higher power. But I find that just simply asking, sometimes I have to ask a few times, but just simply asking and becoming willing to be open to receiving it, and it will come, and just being patient and believing that it will come when I'm ready, that positive attitude, that presence, that stillness, that just kind of fills me up, and it just connects me to not only to God, but also to my authentic self. And yeah, like and sometimes I'll go for a walk too, because I feel God's presence in nature a lot too. And yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. And Mike, we'll let you be the last one checking in on this.
Oops. Can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Mike.
Oh, hey. So one of the things that I do is I look at my life at I look at the good things I have. You know, I compare myself to other people that have it worse off than I do. I'm fortunate. I survived the Widowmaker heart attack. A lot of people don't. I was thinking this last week, you know, I'm in a warm house, and my friends down in Texas were, you know, they were freezing without water. I think about work on Mondays, and, you know, I'm dreading going to work. And then I changed my attitude from, instead of saying, have to, I said to myself, I get to go to work. So, and there's so many people that would love to be able to go to work on Monday, but they can't because they're unemployed. So I think for me, my attitude, when it gets, if it gets bad, I remember the blessings I have in my life and how fortunate I am. And especially when I look around with so much things going on in this world right now and all the illnesses of people with COVID and how they've been effective, either sick or not making it. You know, I'm blessed. I haven't gotten COVID. So that's what I do is I look at my blessings and how good I really have it. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to see you tonight too, or today. So before I turn it back over to Scott, who's going to break us up into small groups to discuss this, just a little reminder from last night. Remember we talked about something called the window of tolerance? It's this idea that we have this window that we function inside of, and you might picture it like the screen that's just in front of you. And when I am triggered and I go hypervigilant, or I get anxious, I get fast, I get afraid, I might go up over the top of my window of tolerance and lose my functionality. And if I get depressed, or if I get overwhelmed, a feeling of hopelessness, then I go below, I drop down below my window of tolerance. And our work in the program is doing a few things. One of the things it's doing is we're learning these tools about getting back inside of our window of tolerance. So this is another way of talking about changing our attitude. This is, as we go into small groups, one way to think of it is what do you do that helps you to get back into your window? And then the second thing that we're learning over time is that we're learning resilience, how to stay comfortable and be present with things that were difficult. So we're able to show up really wisely and kindly for ourselves and in our lives. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Scott.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate the way you're leading us from your heart and helping us learn from each other. We are going to go into small groups. We've heard some examples already about how people are using wise attitudes, helpful attitudes. I believe we're going to have our dashboard person put some questions up. And these are the questions that we're going to be looking at together. What would you do? Is there a person you know who has a positive attitude and what can you learn from them? What do you already do that brings about wise and positive attitudes when you need them? And what new practices would you like to try and develop that you'd like to share with those in your small group? And so talk about what's already going on, what you'd like to learn.
Scott, I just interrupted for a second because that was the wrong screen share that Greg had up. I think that one's from later. And so the one that we're looking for says, what could you do to calm and soothe? So the one that we're looking to share, the first question is, what could you do to calm and soothe so you can actually be free enough to choose a new attitude? Do we have that one, Greg?
Charlie, I am sorry. I do not have that one.
Okay. Turns out that I do. This is my pre-technology version of sharing that. So that's what we're going into the small group with is those questions right there.
I'll read them in case you can't read that. What could you do to calm and soothe so that you can actually be free enough to choose a new attitude? So again, what could you do to calm and soothe yourself so you can be free enough to choose a new attitude? Secondly, is there a person you know who does keep a positive attitude? When it comes to that person who keeps a positive attitude, what can you learn from them? The third question is, what do you already do? And that was the part that was in the question already, that brings about wise positive attitudes when you need them. And what new practices would you like to try to develop that you'd like to share with your new group? So we had the right slide, just didn't have all of it on there. So it's right there. I suggest 15 minutes. I think time's getting away from us. The 20 minute, Charlie, might seem too much. So 15 minutes, try to divide the time among yourselves. And our dashboard people will put you into your small groups. Enjoy your conversation with one another. See you on the other side.
Greg, I'm sorry. I interrupted your screen share and you did have the right share up. It was just a little bit lower, so I didn't see the first sentence. Sorry about that. Oh, you're muted. I can't hear you.
Should I put that in the chat room then?
Yeah, sure. Give them a reminder of the questions. I'll be right back.
Charlie, I'm trying to copy and paste that in there and it won't go. Isn't that weird?
That is what I'm talking about.
It wouldn't paste for me in there, Charlie.
It's okay. They've got enough information. We're being really, really generous. So I noticed that we've got a person on a phone here from a 732 area code. Did you want to check in on the questions that we're doing today for the small groups?
Yeah, it's Kobe. No, I actually had to go for a minute, so I just popped back in.
Hello.
I guess I missed it.
Can you hear
Toby,
me?
Toby, meet Mabel. Mabel, meet Toby. Yes.
Hi.
Go ahead, Mabel.
Yes, I was with Sharon. Should I keep with you guys, stay with you guys, or?
Whichever group you'd prefer, Mabel.
Oh, I can stay here if you want to. Whatever is better.
Great. Well, the questions that we're asking in the small group are, what can we do to calm and soothe, to choose a new attitude? Is there a person that we notice who really models a positive attitude for us that we can learn from? And the ringer, is there any particular practice that you'd like that would help you to move into wise attitude more and more? So anyone want to share on that?
Okay. Well, someone that's a model. Let me see. I know this person that is from EA, but from Spain. And she's a person that's very calm. And I really look at her as a model. She's very, takes everything with a good attitude. I like that. I would love to be like that all the time. And also the next question, can you repeat, sorry?
Is there anything in particular you'd like to practice? Something you'd like to learn more that would help you to get back into attitude, wise attitude, like either a soothing practice or just something that you're learning today, perhaps?
Yes, a soothing practice, meditation, something that really helps. I have this meditation that I tried once that has been very useful. It covers not only the part of being to keep calm, but also of being forgiven. And it's a meditation where I just count, breathe in and out, counting until five. I hold my breath and again, and then I have to think about two doors. I take the one in the left, which are people who are very happy to see me and remind me how the things, the good things about me. And they're very happy to see me. Now, maybe you're like this and that, and you're nice, you're whatever. And then after that, I go to the other door that is at my at my right. And that door, I have a chair, and I sit anyone who I feel have resentment. And I have a talk with that person. And after I have the talk and say everything that has been hurtful, I finish by saying, now I choose to forgive you because I want to feel peaceful, and I let you go. And that meditation is so powerful in my life because I receive not only the good things, my good traits, but also to forgive people who are sometimes I'm resented.
Wow, Mabel, thank you. I wonder when we get back into the small group, if I asked, would you share your chair visualization with the whole group? You can say no.
Yes, sure. I can do that.
Great.
Yes. Yes, I'm saying yes.
Thank you. And I wanted to make sure I got.
You're welcome.
I wanted to make sure I got your name right. Is your name Toby or Kobe?
It's Kobe with a C.
And Kobe, did you want to share?
Sure. I mean, I'm new to Emotions Anonymous. Like literally, this is my first meeting. But. For myself, you know, being locked up for the last 18 years of my life, I've had to mature a lot and find ways to kind of control my emotions because, you know, I was just a kid when I got locked up. So I never really had too much of a chance to grow up. And for me, it's been kind of getting to know myself has been my biggest best way of actually working on controlling my emotions and calming myself, you know, figuring out what's being triggered for me in moments, and it's just self-reflecting, you know, realizing that I don't need to kind of react the same way I used to. I grew up in a very violent household, very emotionless. Like the only emotions that were shown were anger and disappointment. So over time, you know, that just became my go-to. Now it's become where I, you know, most people can't even get a reaction out of me because I'm just very laid back. A lot of that, you know, a lot of it was due to lacking confidence growing up. Now I feel so confident in myself that I just don't react to the little things. I'm just kind of smile and keep moving. As for, little things that I do, yes, I've done meditation. I've tried the faith. Religion's never been a thing for me. Spiritualism, I can kind of like fit into I could fit into any religion, kind of feel happy, because I look for the smaller meaning and things. But everyday life, a lot of writing. Writing is like my form of meditation. Being able to put down the things on paper that I wouldn't necessarily say in life, you know, the thoughts I can't, that I'd like to act on or even that, you know, I'd like to entertain on some level that I just know that I never will. Because God forbid you say some of those things, people look at like, yeah, you like you're not. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what works for me. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kobe.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share on these questions? I'm stopping.
I was just going to say that at one of the retreats, somebody mentioned that when you're in the midst of chaos, he was a scuba diver. And in the midst of chaos, when you're underneath the water and you get tangled up in your hose and everything, that you have to just stop and look at which way the bubbles are going. Just take a breath or not breath, but just pause and look for the bubbles. Because if the bubbles are going up, that's the direction that you want to go. And that's always been really good advice for me, but I always forget that too. I have to remember to take a pause and look for the bubbles and just not react right away to a situation that is, you know, confusing or chaotic, especially at work, because it just makes it escalate even more if I react in a way that's angry or yelling or something. If I can just calmly pause, that's really a good tool for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sharon. Would anyone else like to check in and respond to our small group questions?
We've got roughly, there's eight minutes left on the clock, Charlie.
Great, thank you, Greg. I had no idea.
And I can put the questions back in the chat again. Somebody was asking what the...
Yeah, Robin, the questions are, what could you do to calm and soothe in order to be free enough to choose a new attitude? You could answer, is there a person who keeps a positive attitude that you can learn from? What do you already do that helps when you need these practices? Or if there's some new practice that you've learned about that you want to develop that help you to get back to being calm and being able to actually choose a wise attitude.
And there's a couple groups that just have a couple people in them. If anybody wants to be assigned to a group, I could put you in a group. So let me know.
How about you, Karen? You feel like sharing?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had to take a phone call from work and then I got distracted. So I'm kind of coming in at the end of a discussion, I think. But talking about calming things, and actually I could probably use some calm right now. You shouldn't get phone calls from work on a Saturday, right? What do I do to calm myself? Well, I do have practices when I'm working my program well, and even or just working it, practice doing my checking in, you know, doing my 10th step, you know, how was today and things that works. What I do, and I haven't done it recently, but then life is a little different too. I used to do the serenity prayer as I was walking down the hall when I was going to do something. Oh, I was going to turn myself back on. And sometimes that really helps. And I think one that has helped me recently is trying to look for the good, you know, keeping that in mind and looking at the blessings. I realize that I tend to want to look for things that aren't right. I know they were talking about that this morning too, or we want to focus on not accepting what's going on and not able to accept reality, or, you know, what it is. And I feel like that spoke to me very strongly too. And that helps me find some calm. I do some meditation. I've been trying a couple different online meditations. One is a grounding one to the earth, and kind of it's called a rainbow, when just kind of you envision this rainbow wrapped around you, and you know and I'm grounded to the earth, and it lets me let go of a lot of things. And when I was feeling unsafe about something or feeling like I might get attacked or more vulnerable, I think about that coming and enveloping me and helping me find some peace in that. And I don't, you know, it's, this has been a interesting time. And one of the other things that's been hitting me harder lately, and I don't know why that is, because I'm getting old. All of a sudden I'm feeling old, older. It's, that never used to be something I gave a lot of thought to. I mean, it was there and yeah, I'm getting old. But now, maybe, I don't know. I feel older. I don't feel any wiser, that's for sure. But I do feel older. So, and with that, I'll pass. I don't have a lot more. I ramble on.
Thank you, Karen.
Is it all right if I...
As a sideways witness, over the course of many years, you've gotten a lot wiser. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it comes and goes. Thank you, Charlie. I did like what Mabel said about talking to the people who build you up and appreciate you, and then being able to sit down with the people you have resentments. That's a wonderful idea. I mean, I could...
And we've got one more person. Robin, you asked about, you wanted to see a list of the questions before. Did you feel like checking in now that you've had a chance to look at the questions?
Yeah, I'll try. Close the door. I guess I think of the one, what can I do to calm myself? That's a good question. A couple things, I guess. I think of is nature for sure. At least this morning, I did this meditation. It's kind of like you visualize like this spiritual cord, I guess, or being connected to. I don't know exactly what it, but a meditation. It's like I say these things, but it's like, you know, like during the day, it's like, I don't know, it just either gotta like meditate all the time or something, or focus on my breath, perhaps. All the time, or or go get out in nature, or I guess even like visualize it too. So those are some things I think of anyways is being a comfort. So yeah, with that I pass.
Thank you, Robin. You're the first person who mentioned nature as a resource, which it's amazing that it happened this late in the day. that's my big one for me. I can really relate to that. When I go into nature, I don't have to do anything. Nature meditates me. I'm so grateful that I have access to that in this beautiful place that we live here in Minnesota, at least. So I noticed that we've got about half of our participants coming back. Scott, I wanted to check out an idea with you. I noticed that we didn't put anywhere halfway point a chance to take a little break in our 2-hour session. I just wondered if we wanted to give people 5 minutes to stretch their legs and do stuff. What do you think about that?
A wonderful idea.
Great. I can tell when I'm tense that I need to go take a walk or go do something. So folks, we're going to take a quick 5-minute break, or I should say, we're going to take a luxurious 5-minute break to go do whatever we need to do. And we'll see
Karen.
You.
Karen. Thanks, Charlie.
Can you tell me why I can't see anybody's face, but I can see their names?
Hello, you're from area code 216. Welcome, and what's your name? Hi, we hear you. Who are we speaking to today?
I said, I thought I was muted. Oh, I unmuted. I don't know. I'm Stephanie. Thank you.
Well, thanks for checking in. And sorry that you're having issues seeing the rest of us.
No, that's me. That's Deborah.
Ah, okay. That's Deborah. Hey, Deborah. I'll put your name on your phone. Well, we can see some kind of an icon for you, Deborah, and that's about it.
I'm getting a lot of questions for the last hour and a half.
What did you say you're getting for the last hour and a half?
Crackling. A lot of background crackling.
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay, well, then why don't we do the obvious? Everyone, would you please go ahead and mute yourselves? And then when we get back together in the main session, we'll start without crackling again. And I'm going to go take my own advice and get my last 3 minutes of walking around.
I was going to say the crackling is from your signal. So you may either have to call back in because
I already called back in. Okay.
Yeah,
it's your
connection, because when you mute, there's no crackling, but when you're unmuted, then I hear the crackling. So it's the connection on your end. I'm sorry.
Okay, but thank you very much.
Doesn't star 6 get rid of the, like, puts you on mute? You might want to try that.
And then for Deborah, try swiping your device so that you can see the, sometimes swiping it to the left, you can see faces. Maybe on the page that you are on, you can't see us.
Swiping it, no, I see Mabel has flowers. Kobe has a telephone. Karen has an interesting icon for a person. I don't see any faces. Nothing here. My goodness. No matter which. Now I'm at off the meeting altogether. Zoom.
Is it possible?
Oh, there you are.
Sometimes I put the camera on because I'm using a cell phone and I get tired of holding it up.
Yeah, because I know I'm on a phone. That's why I was saying maybe it's just the people you're seeing on that are on phones.
Addie.
Devorah, can you see me now? I'm talking. Can you see me?
Yeah. No, I saw you earlier. You have okay. No hair on your head.
I don't have any hair on my head.
Hi, Greta. Hi, Devorah. Hi, Mabel.
I'm on an iPhone, too, and yeah, you have to hold it up, but then I actually put mine down, and then I go sideways. So,
Charlie, I think I'm ready to jump back into it, if you are as well.
All set.
And if we can all mute ourselves, that would be great. It's kind of nice to have that little breakout session to chit-chat a little bit, so that's cool. And we're going to silence ourselves, and then I just want to thank everybody for sharing your experience, strength, and hope during those small group times. We're going to dive in a bit deeper. I can still hear somebody maybe needs to mute themselves. We're going to dive in a bit deeper now. As we look at the feelings we have about our feelings, this is really about our attitude, the tone that we have, the feeling that we have about our thinking and our feelings. So I'm going to be needing our dashboard people to put the what is a good, healthy attitude toward my feelings piece on. And then if someone can go ahead and volunteer by raising your virtual yellow Zoom hand, to read that, then we'll be in good shape. And if I don't see it on the screen, I do. Oh, there it is. That's great. Now I just need somebody who wants to read this paragraph that's in the yellow. Charlie or Greg, do you see people that are raising their hand?
Yes, Deborah has her hand up.
Great. Go ahead, Deborah.
All right. I had to unmute. What is a healthy, good attitude toward my feelings? I trust that I can just feel my emotions. They are just natural, and I can handle feeling them. I can even see my negative emotions as gifts. They're helpful cues trying to show me that the way I'm perceiving something is hurting. They may point me to identifying painful thoughts or beliefs. I can more easily accept my feelings when I remember that they are just passing through me. They are not who I am. I can have compassion toward them. I can develop a sense of self that is separate from my emotions. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah. What we're going to go through next is a opportunity to plug in something about attitude that comes from the group that kind of is putting on this program originally for maybe 40 plus years. A group from Minnesota put on a retreat, and some of the folks right here from Minnesota helped to bring this next piece. Dave is mentioned in it, and Sharon is going to read it. So I think if our dashboard manager can put on the section that starts out with from the Saturday morning time of reflection on attitude, how many of us over the next past few months have heard someone say this? All right, and Sharon is going to share this, unless Charlie, you had something to offer.
Yeah, just folks, as you listen to Sharon read this, she read this morning during her renewal ceremony time as a kind of relaxation. So I invite you to sit back and just take a few breaths and consider this as a relaxation exercise. And Sharon, if you would read it just like you read it this morning. Thanks very much.
Okay. How many of us over the past months have heard someone say, "I just want things to return to normal"? Dave from our EA group has reminded us many times that normal is just a setting on the washing machine. Nothing about our lives is really normal. Normal is defined as that which is usual, typical, or routine. And the pandemic has certainly put a wrinkle in typical or routine. There have been challenges, but we also had challenges before 2020. There is no normal to return to. This is where attitude comes into play, an attitude of acceptance of the things we cannot change. See how it comes back to the Serenity Prayer? We have been powerless over many of the changes in our lives, but we are not powerless over our attitudes. We can look for the good in the changes that have happened, and there is good. And we can be grateful for the good, an attitude of gratitude. Look at the good that has happened just within EA. By having our meetings online, we've gotten to know and connect with people all over the world. This virtual retreat probably wouldn't have happened otherwise. With friends and family, there is a new appreciation for seeing people, hugging people, and holding hands. People are slowing down and reflecting on things differently. We are realizing how little control we really have, and we are also realizing what really matters. We are hearing birds sing. We're noticing sunsets and other things that we were too busy to notice before our world changed. We can choose an attitude of acceptance and gratitude to live a more peaceful life. There was a seminar for work where the speaker told of the frustration and even anger some of us feel while stopped at a red light. The light will change when it does. Our getting worked up over it won't help the situation. So instead of the frustration, take a deep breath and enjoy the extra minute or so of quiet time. Consider this attitude check from excerpts by Ernie Larson. Do you see life as challenging and interesting, or do you see it as a painful struggle that must be endured? Do you actively take steps to promote your own well-being, or do you passively wait for someone to solve your problems? Are you truly open to new ideas, or do you refuse to let go of old familiar ways of thinking? Do you make your own decisions, or do you allow other people to direct the course of your life? Do you live comfortably in the present, or do you fear the future and bemoan the past? Do you accept the imperfections of yourself and others, or are you upset and irritated by human imperfection? Attitude is everything. Attitude is a matter of choice. We can pick the attitudes we want as much as we pick our clothes. Nothing or no one in the past or present can dictate our attitudes. No one else deserves credit or blame for how we choose to process reality. For better or worse, our attitudes are ours alone. If we practice looking at each day as a new adventure, so it will be. A creative attitude can transform setbacks and disappointments into learning experiences. A receptive, sensitive attitude can change the everydayness into beautiful or amusing events. A roll-up-the-sleeves attitude is the best problem solver there is. And from the Today book on February 15th, the reflection for today. No matter what my problem is today, no matter my mood, and no matter the weather, I can find something to be happy about if I put my mind to it. I can search for and find something to be thankful for, if it is only that I got out of bed this morning. It is not God who needs to be thanked, but I who need to be grateful. This gratitude fills my heart and gives me a new spirit. I give myself a fantastic reward, a thankful heart which fills a great need. The meditation for today, fill me with the spirit of thankfulness. And today I will remember, thank, and be thankful.
Passing to Charlie.
Wow. Sharon, I presume I speak for everyone. Thank you for that delicious, delicious sharing that you put together yourself and then also read for us. Thank you so much. One attitude that we can have towards our feelings is that they're human, that they're natural, that they're ordinary. It's a mindfulness idea, you know, that the things that are hard about me, everybody's got them. And then when I recognize that, it actually becomes a way for me to connect with other people. I was really hurting yesterday before, and I was feeling some scared coming into the conference. And so I called up my friend Sharon and I talked with her, and she said, well, the very thing that you are wanting to get rid of in yourself is the thing that connects you to everyone else. They're all feeling anxiety. And I realized that that's how I actually feel, is people who don't get it are useless to me. You know, people who, if they're in denial of it, or if they've never experienced it, it's like, that's not the person that I need to talk with. You know, so I really thank you, Sharon. It really helped me to show up and be more authentic today. We're going to ask three people to respond now to what just happened. want to ask you to share an example of a time that you had a really challenging emotion, like I kind of did yesterday, that you were able to accept it and see it was natural, that it was a gift, or even that it led to you being connected to somebody. Once you accepted a difficult thing in yourself, that really made you able to better connect with somebody. And I see that Karen has her hand up.
Yeah, how do I get that hand off now?
Thanks. I got it.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. We talk about the emotions and things that arise, and I found myself getting frustrated because I that very first description of attitude, I was trying my best to write it down while it was on the screen. It was posted. Is there any way that could be sent to me or you could repost? That was so great. Is there any way that could be reposted?
Yeah, I'm sure we can do that. From the front of which session, Karen?
No, it was just this session. Okay. It started, our attitudes, the tone or feeling of our thinking. And it was like one of the very first things you put up on the screen.
Great.
It started this session.
So Greg, would you mind cutting and pasting and putting that into the chat?
Oh, I'd be so grateful.
Great. And Karen, is there some very difficult experience that you had recently, emotion that when you accepted it, found you were able to connect with yourself or another person?
That's what I'm working on.
Okay, well, we'll let somebody else go. I see that Kobe's got his hand up. Raise your hand again if it's a fit for you, Karen, later. Kobe, go ahead and unmute.
Oh, no, I got it. I'm sorry. All right. So, Kobe, addict, Jersey jailbird. I expressed earlier, you know, I've been locked up 18 years now, and every day, you know, I wake up, and there's, you know, radical acceptance that has to come with it, you know, acceptance of my situation, acceptance of different, of a bunch of different feelings. Recently, it's been feelings of loss and disconnect, I've recently lost some family members. Not that it would have been any different had I been free, but, you know, the helplessness and hopelessness that come with being locked away have definitely caused me to kind of connect with myself on a level I never thought I would. Because I don't really have a lot outside of here. I have the meetings I go to over the phone, the couple of meetings that they hold here in the institution when they finally have them. So, you know, I realize that I'm further in control of my mind frame than I originally thought I was. There was a time where I would just let emotions rule. And, you know, when I would feel upset, I would just go with that and just ride with it. And everybody else around me would end up wearing whatever it was I was feeling. Now I just, you know, I've managed to pull back and say, hey, look, I'm not in the place right now where I can deal with anybody. I need to deal with myself first. And then once I'm back on a good level with me, then maybe I can be a little more empathetic to others outside myself. If I don't have that same empathy for myself, then it's not going to work for anyone else. So that's all I have at this moment. That'll pass.
Thank you, Kobe. Thank you for your sharing, and sorry about your loss. Those of us who COVID is new for, I've had some losses recently where I wasn't able to be physically present at the funerals and stuff, and your situation is different, but my sympathies. So Sharon, if you'd have the last word on this session.
Yeah, this was a huge
thing for me, and I thought how well it fit in our small group. Ken said, I realized I could choose my attitude for the day. And that reminded me that when my husband went into hospice, I got really triggered. I was the oldest of six kids and burned out by 12. My mother was incapable of taking care of all the children. So I was really getting triggered. Well, nobody cares about me and I've got to do everything. Just a lot of that whiny victim thinking, the attitude was so many bad ones. And it was like, this is not going to work. You know, we've got how many months of hospice and this is a critical time alive. It has to be done to the best of our ability. And I was watching something on TV and it was a Gary Sukhov. He says, you can set the intention for the day and then it just happens. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. So I got very honest with God about how I was feeling, what I was resisting, what I was resenting. I felt overwhelmed. I felt like it was all beyond my means. I didn't have it in me to be a caregiver. And I'll be darned if I didn't. I set my intention to be kind and compassionate and understanding and the biggie, patient, all of those things. And it just happened. It just happened. I didn't think about it anymore. After I set the intention for the day, that was going to be my attitude. And I didn't have it. And I just let go of it. And towards the end, my husband was telling people how exquisite I was and how perfect I was. And I go, hey, buddy, let me tell you what I was like that first month. I said, everything that's happening is because of the grace of a higher power. I didn't have it. I didn't have to have it. But setting the right intention, setting the right attitude, something greater than myself pulled it off. And he died in January, as I said earlier, and I have no regrets. We did a good job by the grace of a higher power. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sharon. And Scott, I must admit that I've lost a couple pages in my thing, and if you would take over, I'd be most grateful. Thank you, Sharon.
We're looking at the last 25 minutes together, Charlie, and so we might have to do a little trimming if we're going to try to get some of this other material in. So let's see. I think the next part we were going to have you do is we're looking for 1 to 2 minute shares where you've had a challenging emotion. I guess that's what Sharon was just doing. Let's see. Let's do the next part. Let's see that posting, if Greg can put on there, what is a healthy, good attitude towards my thinking? And if I could have a volunteer to raise your hand, your Zoom hand, then I'll have you read this section in yellow, please. And Karen from Minnesota.
Okay. What is a healthy, good attitude towards my thinking? These are just thoughts. I see my habits of thinking, but they are not me. I can see which kinds of thinking aren't helpful and have compassion about this painful habit. I am developing a sense of self that is separate from my thinking. I can more easily let thoughts go. I have new tools for changing my thinking.
Thanks for reading, Karen. So you're hearing a common theme here that speaks about how we can more wisely deal with our thinking and with our emotions. The liberating theme is that we can be detached in a healthy way. We can develop a sense of who we are apart from whatever it is that we're thinking or whatever it is that we're feeling. This detachment is about a healthy separation. In reality, we can say, I am not what I think. I am not what I feel. We can create a space for us between our emotions and our thoughts where we can actually live more freely because of this distance we put between ourselves and the thoughts on our minds or the emotions that we're feeling. So we don't have to get entangled with our emotions and our thoughts. in part because we have created this space. And anytime you've got something that you might get entangled with and you get some space between you and that thing, like when I go fishing and I get the fishing line all tangled up in me, when I get some distance between me and whatever it is that wants to tangle me into it, I am safer. We can have a space between our true selves and whatever these thought patterns and emotional things are. To be a little bit more concrete about that, I thought I would take a time to share some vulnerability about some things going on in my life. I'm going to take 4 or 5 minutes and share what's been going on for me in my family that I have been a part of for the last 26 years or so. And the context here is that it's really giving me a chance to reconsider the tone of my thinking. I have a different feeling towards my emotions now based on what I've been dealing with, processing these last 3 years, especially in my own family relationships involving my spouse and our children. So my wife and I have been married 30 years. Actually, it'll be 34 years this August. We have two daughters that are in their 20s, and one of them is getting married this summer. And the other one has returned from over 2 years of being overseas. And there's a lack of freedom right now as I think about the money issue that we're a little bit tangled in, because the one who's getting married is looking for a little money, and not a little. And the one who is returned from overseas needed a place to stay and stayed with us. And we interacted very lovingly for about a week and a day, almost 9 days, and then haven't heard from her since the day after Christmas. And so there's a lot of anxiety for me around what the future looks like with my two daughters, who are giving me what I would call feedback. They're letting me know I didn't do such a good job as their dad. And it's fair, actually, fair criticism and honest reflection of what they felt. I had a lot of family of origin stuff that I didn't process, and now it's coming to mind through my own immediate family, a family of origin stuff where a lot of shame was involved. We'd always shame on you and feel like we had to isolate or hide all our feelings. There was a heavy need for control in how I grew up, and then I sort of transfer that into trying to control being one of those helicopter dads who always wanted things to look good, that hard work ethic, which is a helpful thing, but it can be overdone and overplayed. And that's what I've done in my parenting of these two beautiful human beings in my life, but who are both wanting distance from me, except perhaps when they want some money. And it's a challenging thing. The piece that we're looking at here today is about the awareness, or this retreat last night today is the awareness, the acceptance, and the attitude. And I am becoming aware of deep grieving that I'm processing, because I thought life would look quite different. As I get into my 60s and 70s and 80s and so on, I don't know how much I'll have interaction with my daughters. I do know that my wife and I are sorting things out, and we are working on having a healthy relationship. The one daughter who's graduating from college in May and then getting married in June, we might be having a little graduation evening where my wife and I celebrate the fact that we got our daughter across the finish line, and just recognizing I can look at the tone of my feelings and have it be a positive tone, and to acknowledge the grief and the sadness, but to know how I have loved them was the best that I could. I'm really learning a lot about surrendering my life and surrendering what's happening to life. Creating a heart space where I'm going to remain open. It's a lot of work that I think if I didn't have this 12-step program of VA, I'm not sure how I'd be surviving this, because I've felt so despairing and so sad and confused and angry. And yet all those emotions, all those thoughts are things I can get so easily entangled with. And having some space, separating out, feeling the joy and the peace when it comes, going for a walk like I did earlier, just meditating. These are the things that allow me to be separate. So that's what I wanted to share, just by way of saying life is challenging and life is generous. And I'm choosing to focus on the way this program is giving me the generous people of EA, a power greater than myself that I discover in my relationship with you, in my relationship with the material, with this high power. It's all working for good. So thanks for letting me share that. We are now going to move our attention to three wise attitudes that we can benefit from. And they are listed here, self-compassion and forgiveness and gratitude. And
Scott, before we move on, I'd just like to thank you for sharing that. That was good. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, it's. I thought about
it. Scott, thank you.
I thought about doing a little break there, Charlie, to say, oh, shoot, now this is, but that's kind of how my brain works, is I'm in my heart and now I got to be in my head leading this forward. So, but yeah, no, I appreciate the way people have supported me, and people probably know more about my family than they need to know, but it's what I need to share. So that's what's going on. Yeah. So thanks, Ken. Thanks, Charlie, for connecting with me there. We are going to look at how often we can change. We cannot just change from a bad attitude to a good attitude. We must first suffer and then realizing that it's not working out before we can shift those gears. That's where that surrender comes in. So we do have an opportunity to forgive ourselves, to have compassion in order to access this shift to a wise attitude. One of the shortcuts, which is another language to say, one of the quick access points is to have a truly wise attitude that always allows us to be grateful. So when we can put on an attitude of gratitude, that's a huge movement forward. So Charlie, did you find your pages yet?
I am flush with pages. I know exactly where we are now.
I'm going to hand it off to you.
Beautiful. We're going to have to make some cuts, Scott, to make this fit in. And so, I'm just going to read a paragraph here, and then we're going to have you guys share again. Just to kind of bring you all up to date, we've got about, let's see how many more minutes in our session here. We've got about 6 minutes left in our session here, and then we're going to take a break. And so the three things that we were talking about was forgiveness and gratitude and hopefully if we can start to see, you know, that we have the power to change our attitude, but that sometimes the first step is forgiveness. Scott, I really resonated with the fact that you were sharing something that was difficult. And so sometimes the first step in moving towards being able to change your attitude is forgiveness. It's a little bit different than compassion. It's actually understanding I'm human, you know, and I did the best I could. And then all of a sudden it becomes possible to choose something that's different. Our next to last discussion that we're going to have is about how our understanding of a power greater than ourselves can help us to move forward with a new vision of our life going forward. And this conversation is well-timed. We've just looked at having radical self-compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude. And it's with those attitudes in mind that we're going to just have a large group check-in for a last time and see if there's anybody who wants to talk about how we're discovering ways to benefit from having your higher power. We had a few people that shared really lovely about that. There was some other lovely shares, but this is just a chance to talk about how higher power has been working with us. And so what we're looking for is just a few really short statements. So something to the effect of, you know, for me, I'll just say this. I've been stuck for a while. And I know that it's been like a month now. I've been really working every day to try and rebuild my conscious contact with my higher power. And I have this vision of a shopping cart that Charlie is pushing that's got all of the things that Charlie's worrying about. And I've been taking the things out of the shopping cart, like, okay, I'm setting down the retreat. I'm setting down the great political divide. I'm setting down, you know, the COVID. So looking back for you folks, What's some one thing that is a higher power help that you've gotten recently? Anyone put your hands up on this? Okay, I see Mabel has her hand up. Go ahead, Mabel.
Hi. Yes. Well, my higher power has been helping me with my patience and to remember not to be controlling, which is hard because I have a teenager and sometimes I really don't know where to stop. I have been struggling and juggling with letting go and also not being so controlling. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mabel. And I see that Audrey has her hand up.
Hi, I'm Audrey. I'm passing my motion.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Audrey. Okay. Loud and clear.
How my power has helped me was has changed my life forever. Was I was about to commit suicide 11 years ago, and my higher power spoke to me and said, that's not a good idea, several times. And so I listened to it, and I haven't been suicidal for 11 years until this past week, when I was in an abusive relationship with, my boss was being very abusive to me in the former place where I worked at. And I got tired of it. And so I had thoughts of hurting myself again for the first time in 11 years. And I would meditate and everything. My higher power said, you need help. And so my higher power used my therapist, my outside help, and my job coach. Everything, and I was able to quit that job, and I found another job pretty much right away. So that's how my high pass helped me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Audrey. And Scott, we're going to turn it back over to you for the last word on the last page.
All right. Well, one of the attitudes we didn't spend much time on is respect, but here's a great way to practice it. We are going to be respectful of time. We've had a couple of notes saying, couldn't we just go over time? For example, we know that Dave and Betty have both prepared, and probably in a timely way, we're going to respect the time that is left there. So let me close with this word on respect. So we want to respect respect is an attitude that we can each choose. It's how we look at a situation, how we look at a person. I like to take the word respect and divide it into the two parts, re and spect. A re is again and again, right? And respect is my glasses, right? I'm gonna spect. So how am I looking again and again at things in a new way? So if I look at myself in a respectful way, I treat myself as worthy of honor and I celebrate who I am. And it works the same way when I view other people in a respectful way, other situations with respect, a new way of looking at them, brand new, with wise and positive attitudes. And that's really something that we can choose in each moment. Again, as I mentioned, in terms of time, we want to respect everyone's time and attention span by wrapping things up now in honoring the amount of time set aside for this session. We hope that you have indeed discovered something worth hanging on to in this time together. Take what you like, leave the rest. One of the things that Charlie and I had spoken about previously is we may see developing out of this Zoom retreat an opportunity for a 4A's kind of a journal that could come forward. And so some people are maybe concerned that, well, there's some good stuff that these guys have prepared and we're not gonna get at it. Well, yes, you will. Higher power will make sure that the world is changed and transformed through these opportunities that you have a chance to share as well. So our next section is on wise action, and it's going to be led by Betty L. and Dave Q. We do have a 10-minute break now. So some people are going to use that as a body break, go away from their screen and so on. Others might stick around here. There's a little time for discussion probably until 2 o'clock. And our next session on wise action begins at 2 o'clock. I'll be listening in on the telephone as I travel up north. So thanks for being with all together. And Charlie, anything else we need to say before we go?
Just really grateful for you, Scott. So much service. Thank you for leading us as our president for so many years now. And the way that you show up in groups, hosting different groups and in service, and what a great friend and co-sponsor you are. So very grateful. Thank you for your showing up today with all of your heart. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
See you guys in 10 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. Welcome, and Scott.